What is chugging down the tracks for a big Jacksonville corporation? CSX. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. We're always live on the radio at 9, and make sure to get our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and through our app. Just ahead, a look at the future for Jacksonville-based CSX after its CEO passes on. 549-2937. We want to know what you think. Then later, progress in the urban core as we spotlight the work of LISC Jacksonville. Plus, how you can pick up some special treats this season to support the Sulzbacher Center. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, questions surround the future of CSX after railroad CEO Hunter Harrison died suddenly over the weekend. Harrison took over the Jacksonville-based railroad giant earlier this year, and he quickly became a controversial figure as the company laid off hundreds of people from their downtown headquarters. But Harrison was a legend in the railroad industry with a reputation for turning around struggling companies. So, what's looming down the tracks now for CSX? And did the board show poor judgment in hiring Harrison to begin with? He was an ailing senior citizen who refused a medical exam before coming on board. WJCT business analyst John Burr is following the story and has some thoughts. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa.
We'll go to your calls in a moment about the future for CSX. The number to join us, 549-2937. So Harrison died over the weekend. He was 73. The board's coming in for some criticism from national media outlets that track railroads, business publications like the Wall Street Journal. They're saying, look, why did the board hire this guy to begin with? He was on an oxygen tank. He refused a medical exam before he came to turn around CSX. Do you think that's fair criticism?
Well, you know, hindsight 2020, yes, it is fair criticism. At the time, in March, you know, Hunter Harrison is considered probably like the Bob Iger of railroading.
He's a legend.
He's the best of his generation, and he's turned around three railroads. So you know, it was obvious what they were going for. This is a case where a hedge fund really forced the board into this decision. Seeking higher profits and so I think the hedge fund also has to come under criticism.
How did the hedge fund force the board's hand?
Well, you know, they're an activist. They did an activist action. They got some people on the board. Being large shareholder, they have that power. And over time, they convinced the board that the then management led by Michael Ward could do better. The guy that could really come in and supercharge the profits was Hunter Harrison.
He was in the job, though, for a short time. Did he have a positive impact before he unexpectedly passed away?
Well, Wall Street certainly thinks so. Even with the recent dip in the stock, it's up 48% this year. Pretty nice return. Internally, we hear a lot of reports about bad morale, people, you know, working hours that are just crazy, and of course, you know, the upper management of CSX here in Jacksonville is pretty much left. Harrison had to bring in new people.
They were going to pay Hunter Harrison more than $300 million if he reached all his targets for the railroad. He got $84 million right off the bat when he left Canadian Pacific Railroad.
That's right.
And now the company has an acting CEO, a guy named Foote, who is already an internal executive at the company. What's CSX's strategy now for a succession plan?
Well, you know, when you embark on a sea change like CSX did and Hunter Harrison got started, you just can't stop. So I think Jim Foote,
that train is headed down. I'm so sorry. Bad puns everywhere. The train is headed down the tracks. Can't pull the brakes now.
It left the station. So I think, you know, going forward, Jim Foote's going to get a good shot at being the CEO. If he falters in 6 to 9 months, there are other people who worked with Hunter Harrison up in Canada who might be coming down. But I think CSX is committed to this precision scheduled railroading philosophy that Hunter Harrison instilled there.
It's a more efficient way of railroading, but it did result in many jobs lost. Let's go to a few calls to our business analyst, John Burr, about the future for CSX, 549-2937. Hal in Riverside. Hey, Hal, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, Hal, I'd like to start off by saying that the only people happy with CSX's performance is the stock market. The employees are certainly not happy. There was a sense of glee in the office.
Are you an employee?
Yesterday.
Are you an employee?
I am, and I'm not giving you my real name for that reason.
Okay.
Glee, memes, jokes. Our customers have not been happy. Our customers have been complaining to the NTSB board. Their government is investigating us right now for the safety of our trains because they're too long and we're stopping. We're blocking train crossings everywhere. Hunter Harrison came in. Every company he's left within a year, most of them have re-implemented most of their processes and procedures that have changed. And my problem with this entire thing is, who's going to be held accountable for hiring this man? Yes, they picked a shareholder vote, but information was withheld from the public about his true health situation. We spent $2 million renovating the executive suites on in the CSX building downtown, including a full hospital room and hospital bed. You don't put a hospital bed in for somebody who's in good health.
Wait a minute. The company spent $2 million on renovating executive suites, including a hospital room?
Yeah, hospital bed. A full hospital bed was put in for him. I forget what floor it is at the 500 building downtown, but you can pull the permits. They were published in the Business Journal about how much money was spent. I believe it's $1.9 million. Not only did he buy him a house and a condo in Jacksonville on top of his compensation package, they spent $2 million renovating the floor that he had to have and installed a hospital bed.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Hal. And that's an employee of the company calling in. Hal, I appreciate that. I hadn't been aware there was a hospital facility installed in the building.
No, that's news to me, too.
That's news.
But the renovations, it has been shared. You know, he's absolutely right about the railroad's customers, the industries that it ships goods for. They're really upset with the scheduling and delays. In fact, you know, there's some companies that have said, hey, they've had to stop or slow down their production because the trains aren't coming to take away the goods.
Then why was the board bamboozled? And will the board be held accountable? Because this is a mess for this company. I think we need to come right out and say that.
Well,
and obviously there's some disgruntlement among the troops there.
I think the board, they knew. They did ask for a health report on him. They knew that his health was suspect.
So if we can prove that they've installed a hospital facility in his executive suite, that's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. And, you know, they were throwing a Hail Mary pass and it got intercepted. What can you say? I mean, but it was really so they didn't need to do this. I mean, Michael Ward ran a pretty good ship here. I mean,
we're getting a call about Michael Ward. It's Harmon up at JIA. Go ahead, Harmon.
Good morning, gang. I don't know how you followed that previous call other than I think all of us need to look at our benefit packages. And I guess the question at hand, is there any possibility that Michael Ward may be coming back, John, and if even they would even consult with him at this point?
Thank you for that call.
Thanks for everything you all do, and we chat later. Regard.
Thanks, Harmon. Michael Ward, would they bring him back?
I think that the board will discuss that for probably 15 minutes and decide not to do it because, you know, again, they have started down this precision scheduled railroading mantra. They have instituted ways of doing things that are different. They just cannot pull the plug on that and go back to the old ways at this point. Can't do it.
We'll continue to follow the story, but in the meantime, I think our new staff is going to be making a few calls to try to confirm what Hal said. In fact, was there a hospital facility of some sort inside corporate headquarters for this CEO?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Okay, Thanks for everyone calling in. He's our business analyst, John Burr, talking about the future of CSX, the railroad giant based in Jacksonville. Thanks, John. Much more still ahead later. Speaking of travel, find out how you can win 2 round-trip plane tickets to anywhere in the U.S. All you have to do is enter a mural contest. We'll explain. But up next, downtown's urban renewal continues apace. We'll tell you about it right after this.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
On Fresh Air, you can hear interviews that make you see the world in a new way.
Every drink of water you take, every pot of coffee you make is dinosaur pee because it's all been through the kidneys of a Tyrannosaurus rex or an Apatosaurus many, many times because all the water we have is all the water we have ever had.
You just never know what you'll learn next on Fresh Air. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
There's always something new happening in your community and your world. Whether it's Morning Edition tackling topical concerns in a smart, thoughtful way, or First Coast Connect introducing you to local artists and innovators, you can always count on WJCT to share a world of exploration with you. Make a year-end donation to ensure the programs you cherish and rely on continue to thrive throughout the year to come. Give online now at WJCT.org.
Calling all educators, WJCT and Community First Credit Union are proud to present the 5th Annual Teach Conference, an event created by teachers to engage, empower, and inspire. Saturday, February 10th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. Tickets are $30. Tickets purchased for the 2016 and 2017 events will be honored. Share ideas with colleagues, learn new ways to engage students, and empower yourself to inspire others. Bring a friend and get your tickets today at wjct.org/teach.
Convinced you've heard it all before? Well, at Indie Endeavor, we challenge that notion. Tune into WJCT's After Hours for the best songs you've never listened to. Tuesdays at 11 p.m.
Welcome back. Well, Jacksonville's urban core is in the midst of a renewal boom with exciting things happening in challenged neighborhoods like the historic East Side, Springfield, Brooklyn, La Villa, Newtown, and the newly dubbed Rail Yard District. Yeah, it's got a name. Just west of downtown. The nonprofit LISC Jacksonville, that's Local Initiative Support Corporation, is playing a big role in all of this. With more about that and an opportunity to apply for an award with LISC, we welcome CEO Janet Owens. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Also with us, Jacksonville City Councilman Greg Anderson. He is the LISC Community Development Awards Committee Chair. Good morning to you, Councilman.
I am. Good morning.
And give us a call as we talk about the renewal and the new construction happening in Jacksonville's downtown urban core. It's 549-2937. In a minute, we'll talk about the LISC Awards. But first, Janet Owens, LISC is really involved in encouraging development in these urban core communities and has been for many years. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing to sort of spark this building boom and this kind of energy that we see happening downtown right now?
Well, Melissa, it's always been important for us to be there for our partners and bridge the gap, whether it's providing capital so that they can move forward on the renovation, revitalization, or whatever that community development investment is going to be, or if it is to actually help get capacity and technical expertise so that community development organizations, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit, mm-hmm. are able to move their community and renew and revive.
And here are some examples of where you've had impact, some success stories to brag about. Everything from the Jesse Ball DuPont Center to the Kipp School, FSCJ's new downtown housing and cafe, the Barnett Tower Laura Street Trio, the Dozier Apartments on 8th Street, the NFL playing fields in urban core communities. People might not realize you were the hidden hand in a lot of that.
We frequently call ourselves the person behind the curtain.
And behind the curtain with you is City Councilman Greg Anderson. You are involved in this as well. You're also an executive with EverBank in your private life. Tell us a little bit about how you see LISC's efforts when it comes to downtown development and urban renewal.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. And happy holidays to everybody. LISC is a really key partner for Jacksonville, and let me give you some examples of investment that this organization has made. They've directly invested $72 million in Jacksonville's urban core, but I think even more importantly is they've brought other organizations together and leveraged outside sources, $228 million that have been used to help redevelop our core. And some other areas that I think that a lot of folks don't realize, but 295 quality homes have been financed with LISC's expertise. And Over 1,400 affordable home units at this point?
Yes, that's correct.
So that is a huge initiative that LISC has brought to Jacksonville as we continue to seek to renovate and to re-energize our urban core.
Mm-hmm. And it's 549-2937 as we speak with LISC CEO Janet Owens and Jacksonville City Councilman Greg Anderson. What do you think should be done to further spark development and growth in Jacksonville's urban core? Now, I mentioned a bunch of neighborhoods in this little footprint downtown that are seeing movement. And if people have been driving around, they might have seen the new lofts at La Villa going up near the Prime Osborne Convention Center. And there are other projects, too. There are some things that are actually going up, physical construction, Janet, and then there are some things that are in the pipeline. Isn't that right?
That's correct. We are really proud as we look to Northwest Jacksonville that the Mary Eves Senior Facility near Stanton High School have just been completed. That is serving about 70-plus seniors who are able to remain in their neighborhood but have very comfortable assisted living space right there in the Northwest Jacksonville community. Mm-hmm. Others include, if we pivot to the east side, the CB Daily Villas, which is a development by Wealth Watchers organization, and that's providing 24 units of affordable housing for veterans. And Operation New Hope has developed Oakland Commons that is off the A. Philip Randolph Boulevard area, and have recently added a few more units to that development. So a lot of things are happening across Jacksonville that are bringing neighborhoods back and adding value and home opportunities for families, affordable home opportunities for families.
Here's a tweet about this from Tony Allegretti of the Cultural Council. Don't forget the Block State Skate Shop building in Springfield is also a LISC Jacksonville project.
Thank you, Tony. I thought about that earlier. We, in the last few years, have really begun to work with small businesses that really want to be in the heart of the urban core and oftentimes need a little extra hand-holding to get their projects across the finish line. And that's exactly what we do. And so we're thrilled about Block Skate
Sure. So, you know, you've been on the city council for a while now, Greg, and when you look at what's happening now, it seems as though, you don't want to jinx it, but it seems as though there's finally some momentum on a lot of projects. Urban Core advocates have been wanting this for so long.
Yeah, you're right, Melissa.
How confident do you feel that this will continue into the new year?
So, one, you're absolutely right, and I think there's a sense of optimism in this community that you can fill, and so I'm very excited about what's going on now. But I think even more important is what is coming, what's coming to our downtown and our urban core, and you'll hear probably in the next couple of weeks more discussion about a district now they're calling the Cathedral District. So we have all kinds of districts, by the way.
I know. And who's, by the way, who's coming up with these names?
I don't know, but they're clever.
What's the Cathedral District?
Well, you know, near the Episcopal Church has always been a historic area for Jacksonville. And there's some opportunities for redevelopment there. LISC has been very involved in a major project on the east side, which is, I think, going to be an opportunity to really see an improvement. So we do have a lot of projects that are in the hopper. You'll continue to see progress on the Laura Street Trio, the shipyards, the district. I think Jacksonville is moving forward. It's a very exciting time to be here, and I think it'll continue to move forward.
We're having a little issue with our phone system. People are trying to call in and connect with you guys, but technology's getting in the way, so apologies for that. All right, so with all of that said, you want to recognize the best in the efforts to help the urban core, the LISC Awards for Community Development. What's going to be happening?
Sure. So thank you. Last year, I think, was our first year of doing this award. And this is really for sort of unsung heroes. And so this is an opportunity for this community to raise these heroes up. And so on February the 7th, at the Jesse Ball DuPont Center, we're going to have an award ceremony for this, what's called the LISC Awards for Community Development. And it's going to be a breakfast, so it's going to be a yummy breakfast. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to bring in an internationally renowned author, Peter Karagama. Is that who this is?
Kageyama.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Peter has...
I'm glad you said that, not
yeah.
me.
Thanks, Janet.
I've been practicing.
You've been practicing. And but, who is he?
Yeah, so he's an author who has written a book called For the Love of Cities. And I've had a chance to look through part of it. I haven't read it entirely, but his theory is that if you really love a city, you do extraordinary things for it. So you protect it and you invest in it. So what he's exploring is the idea that communities can do things that create that special bond between their citizens and their cities. And so we're going to hear from Peter, and he's going to be here for a couple days, so he'll get a chance to look at Jacksonville and see you know, what's causing our citizens to fall in love with it.
So the
only thing that I want to make sure I mention is that on the LISC website, so www.lisc.org/Jacksonville, it gives us all, anybody who's listening, anybody who is interested, an opportunity to nominate unsung heroes for one of five awards. So please go out and look at that site. And if you know somebody who is doing work in the urban renewal space, please take this opportunity to nominate them.
Janet Owens, nominations are open till January 12th. People need to not be shy about this. If they know someone they think qualifies, right?
Right. So if you've been working on a project as a neighborhood group, or if you are a small business like the
Block Skate Shop.
Mm-hmm. And have really put your heart and soul into making this your project work, in one of our urban communities, this is an opportunity to let the community really celebrate your efforts.
Let's go to a few calls for Janet Owens of Lisk and City Councilman Greg Anderson. Our phones are back up and working. 549-2937. Mike is downtown right now. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank the councilman and the folks at Lisk for spearheading the efforts to revitalize our city. And these projects are great, but it's also important to take care of what we have. What is the budget and the timetable for fixing the North Bank Riverwalk? It is completely embarrassing. It's crumbling at both ends. We've got people staying at the Hyatt downtown, and they walk outside, and there's the area's fenced off. You can't even use the Riverwalk.
Right.
What's the timetable to get that fixed?
Okay. So I guess that's for me.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Mike. There's two. First of all, there's no doubt that the storms really damaged our infrastructure, and there are ongoing efforts to repair that. Everything from Memorial Park, down to that area. I think you're specifically talking about Coastline Drive, and that's the road that ran in front of the Hyatt. So there is a project that we approved when I was city council president. This is a couple years ago, that will completely redo that part. It'll include the bulkhead. It'll also include a new road. But the best part is they're going to remove the old parking deck there and create waterfront space for the old courthouse, which is there's money in the budget to remove the courthouse and the courthouse annex as well. So I hear your frustration. I walked down the landing the other day and saw the broken docks as well. It's an issue. I know it's being addressed right now. As far as the timetable on the Coastline Drive, I think I think the storm it set them back a little bit, and I suspect it'll be at least a year or so before that project's completed.
Another year or so, but to take down the old courthouse and annex, that's budgeted and that's gonna happen.
Right, they approved the city council approved the mayor proposed it, and the city council approved money in the capital budget to take those two buildings down, and that is going to transform that part of our downtown. So I'm very excited about it. And Mike, thanks for the question.
Richard is downtown. Hey, Richard. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I think it's great, everything that's being done. But, I think the thing that will make the biggest difference in downtown is trying to get the population up. Mm-hmm. From the mid-70s, we were like 70,000. We're, 29 now. And, you're talking about revitalizing an area. Back in the 80s, Hemming Park was a disaster. That whole area was a disaster. May Cohen's was closed. Penny's was closed. Woolworths was closed. Everything was closed. And the way that was brought back was moving people who were not people, were transient people, were people who were going to be there, like the city hall, like the federal courthouse, like the library, like the museum. And, Everbank is a great example. Everbank came downtown because of inducement with money. And I would like to see more dollars put up for that purpose. I think all federal, state, and city offices ought to be located downtown, because that brings a stability in the people that are downtown.
Thanks,
That's
Richard.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Okay. So thank you very much. I think those comments are right. I mean, it really is about population in the downtown core. I think there's two components to that. The first is the businesses that are headquartered in our downtown. And as an Everbanker, I thank you for that compliment, because I think that was a huge move on my company's part to relocate downtown, and I'm very proud of that company, of my company. So there are businesses that bring people downtown, and there are good things that happen when that occurs. But there's also a whole push to have more people live downtown. And so what you're seeing now on the part of the Downtown Investment Authority, as part of their plan, is to put is to put housing developments in our downtown core. And interestingly, I mean, the last numbers that I saw show that there's, you know, very little vacancy in the downtown area. So if you wanted to find a condo or rent an apartment, it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think you're exactly right. I think it does include two components. One is we want to generate more housing units in our downtown area as well.
And, of course, as we've been saying all along, LISC of Jacksonville is a vital partner in that effort. Janet Owens, people have until January 12th to nominate a deserving person or entity for the LISC Awards for Community Development. It's lisc.org/Jacksonville, correct?
Correct.
All right, so get those nominations in. Thank you so much, Janet and Councilman Greg Anderson. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
And a quick note, we've received a call just now from CSX Corporate Headquarters. They deny the allegation made in the prior segment from a caller who stated he was a CSX employee. That caller told our listeners and the public that CSX had installed a hospital bed in the executive suite for the late CEO Hunter Harrison, who passed away over the weekend after being ill. CSX tells WJCT that allegation is untrue. We will continue to follow the story, and we'll be right back.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state
about the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
In 1971, Robert Rosenthal was working an entry-level job for the New York Times when an editor called with the story of a lifetime.
He says, I want you to come to room 1111 at the Hilton Hotel tomorrow and don't tell anyone where you're going and bring enough clothes for at least a month.
And down the rabbit hole we go.
I slept in a room with two huge filing cabinets. I slept with the Pentagon Papers.
On the next episode of Reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
The WJCT app. Now you can watch PBS programs on demand, including PBS Kids, right from your phone or tablet. Listen to live streaming audio, WJCT News, and NPR programs.
This is First Coast Connect.
Easily access the WJCT TV and radio schedule. Connect to WJCT social media and much more. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
Support for Movable Feast is made possible by 927 Events, event venue and catering.
Welcome back. Well, we all enjoy treats at the holidays, but you need to try to eat healthy when you can. In today's Movable Feast, our look at dining and hospitality trends around town, Lee Court of the Women's Food Alliance talks with Kelly Mabry of Jacksonville's Tropical Smoothie.
Banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. You with the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato, please.
Why tropical smoothie? I know you own two tropical smoothies that we'd love to hear about with your husband, Jim.
Well, I am a very health conscious person, and years ago I stumbled upon tropical smoothie in Ponte Vedra. I was very conscious about what I ate and what I fed my children. So I thought, what an exciting place that made fresh fruit smoothies and then all natural foods that was a healthy alternative to fast food.
Since we're on the radio and people cannot taste them, can you describe some of the smoothies that you create and how the menu has expanded since you've been at the helm?
We started off actually just smoothies. It's great for on-the-go people. And we have a wonderful array of proteins, whey protein, soy protein, and a pea protein. So these are...
Take a moment. Tell us about pea protein.
Okay.
What is that?
It is, it's made all natural, a vegetable protein predominantly. And, of course, I have a lot of vegans and vegetarians that come in. So that's something, and a lot of people that are allergic to things. So pea protein is 32 grams, a scoop that we put in our smoothies.
And now you also do some catering. You do a lot of catering out of your tropical smoothies with delicious, I've tasted some of your flats that I really love. Talk about your food.
Well, flatbreads are, like I said, I'm a big fan of our food and our smoothies. But our flat food, people don't realize that because it says Tropical Smoothie Cafe, we actually have done a re-imaging, emphasizing more on the cafe because we have such wonderful food. It's all natural.
One of the things I love about coming into the Ponte Vedra location is your amazing staff. You always have young, vibrant, knowledgeable, fun people serving and in there making those smoothies and sandwiches. Talk about your community engagement. I know that you've spent at least 15 years nurturing and raising up some of your staff that come back years later with their children.
I have. I have taken great pride. I come from a big family of 10 brothers and sisters out in Fruit Cove. I guess it was my calling from God to mentor these young adults.
Well, all I can say is I am doing my best this holiday season to not gain 5 pounds. My goal was to lose 10. So I get a good start for the new year, and I'll be in to see you in Tropical Smoothie soon. Thank you so much for joining me on Movable Feast. Kelly Mabry, see you around.
Everybody eats when they come to my.
All right, here's a great gift idea for you. The Sulzbacher Center, in partnership with the downtown candy shop Sweet Pete's, has created the private label Sulzbacher Sweets. It's a line of candies and just in time for the holidays. Pick up some of these and you are helping local efforts to reduce homelessness. Sulzbacher CEO Cindy Funkhauser and Sweet Pete's owner Peter Behringer are here with the delicious details. So we're going to have some tropical smoothies, but we shouldn't completely neglect sweet treats at the holidays. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Great.
This is so exciting. So Cindy, we all love the candy at Sweet Pete's. Now it's going to help Sulzbacher Center. How is this going to work?
Well, it's working fabulously, actually. So the way that it works is that we, as you mentioned, have a private label, candy. And we've worked for months with Sweet Pete's to decide which of their amazing flavors are going into our candy sets. And you can visit our website to get them. You can go into the store to get them. So there's lots of ways. But we're sharing in the profits of this. And most importantly, which I know Pete will talk about, is that they're hiring our folks from the Sulzbacher Center to package.
Peter Behringer, you're such a good man. How about this?
Well, this has really worked out a lot for us, too. I mean, it's great to be able to employ people. And I think it really does solve a problem. And it's also helpful for us because we have a need to put people to work.
Sure. So you're employing people that the Sulzbacher Center has referred to you in your packing facility and other places, and they're helping get this candy out to the public. And you just so happen to have brought some candy here to the studio with you.
Which it's is Merry Christmas, Melissa.
It's a newsroom. You know, like this will be gone in about 5 minutes. Here we have milk chocolate pretzel clusters, Rockin' Bears fruit salad, and my personal favorite, the Sweet Pete's sea salt caramels. You know the way to my heart. I can't wait to try these. And as you guys said, this is a branded package. So it says Sulzbacher Sweets by Sweet Pete's. How much of this purchase goes toward the Sulzbacher Center, Cindy?
And this is the amazing thing, and I can't believe that Pete and Allison agreed to this, but 50% of the purchase price, not just of the profit, of the purchase price goes back to the Sulzbecher Center, and that's really amazingly generous.
That is a really nice cut of the action for them, Peter. That's wonderful.
Well, we're happy to be partnering with the Sulzbecher Center and helping them, you know, solve a serious problem that we have, you know, which is homelessness.
Sure, and you're a downtown-based business, so of course there are a number of facilities downtown that work with the homeless population. Mm-hmm. This is something for urban core residents. This is, you know, one way that you as a business owner are stepping up to try to be part of the solution, which is commendable. Well, it really is.
Thank you. I mean, we're happy to do it. It's I think we should hopefully we'll start a trend and more people will get involved and do these kind of things and put people to work as well.
Now, a little bird tells me that Sweet Pete's is doing so well that you are expanding to Atlanta. Is that
true?
We
have a new store coming up soon in the Battery in Atlanta, which is where the new Braves Stadium is.
How exciting.
We're
taking
thrilled.
The brand all over the place.
We are. We're taken one step at a time. Where this is a pretty big step for us, and we should be open by the end of March. We're working hard on that right now.
When you were on the show The Prophet a few years ago, and they gave you guys the shot in the arm you needed to really take off downtown, that was super exciting to see.
It's been like night and day since we've been on that show. Really, mm-hmm. It's really put us on the map.
Yeah, and so another way people can help keep Sweet Pete's on the map is by just buying one of these packages, Cindy. The Sulzbecher Center has been just on the front lines of this issue for so many years in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is neat because say you have that person in your life that has everything and you don't know what to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy them this, then, you know, you're bringing them into the effort, too, to reduce homelessness.
Yes. And inside every set, there's a little brochure, and it says, Help and Hope with Every Bite. So it tells the person that's receiving the gift where the money's going and what we do at the Sulzbecher Center. So when they receive the gift, yes, who doesn't love the candy? But they also know that by receiving that gift, that they have helped a homeless family or a homeless person get back on their feet. And so that's the beauty of it. We have really been pushing it out marketing-wise to all of our supporters and all of our donors, and it's really been a huge hit. I want to give a shout-out to Florida Blue. They gave us a huge order, which is their corporate gifts this year. So a lot of people are stepping up to the plate here to support this effort, which we're very, very grateful for.
Now, just as Sweet Pete's is expanding to Atlanta, the Sulzbecher Center is expanding, too.
Yes.
You've got a new facility in the pipeline simply for women and children.
Yes.
Right?
The Sulzbecher Village will be cutting our ribbon in April, working with VestCor on that development. It's affordable housing, so it's permanent housing, which, as you know, is the answer to homelessness. There's 70 units for women and families, a huge pediatric clinic, an early learning center, job training is a lot more, and I'm sure we'll be back to talk about that before April. But we're very excited, and it's so close. If anybody goes out in the area around 44th and Pearl, just drive by, and you're going to be amazed. It's 92,000 square feet. It's a very beautiful, large, new facility.
It's great, but of course, a facility takes money, and
here, yes,
this is an easy way people can support the Sulzbecher Center.
Exactly.
They just need to buy some of this candy.
Right.
Who doesn't want that, right, Peter?
I think everybody loves candy.
That's why you're in a good business. So go downtown to Sweet Pete's and pick up the Sulzbecher Sweets by Sweet Pete's holiday package. You can also get it at SulzbecherCenter.org/sweets. Happy holidays and sweet nothings to you both. Sulzbecher Center CEO Cindy Funkhauser and Peter Berenger. He's the co-owner of Sweet Pete's. Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you.
Much more still to come. We'll be right back.
It's not quite a new Cold War, but it sure sounds like one. The president's new national security strategy takes a hard line against China and Russia. It calls out a consensus that promotes U.S. engagement with its fiercest rivals. America first or America alone? Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
on the next Fresh Air, Religion, Sex, Gender, and Politics. We talk with R. Marie Griffith, author of Moral Combat, How Sex Divided American Christians and Fractured American Politics. Her book starts with the battles for women's suffrage and legal birth control and ends with marriage equality and the Women's March after Trump's inauguration. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Some people in Miami worry that they'll be priced out of their homes because of climate change. Miami's Little Haiti is built on some of the city's highest ground.
I was having this conversation with a friend about how this changes the market in this area, makes it more valuable, so now we're going to definitely get pushed out of here.
I'm Marco Werman. We're in Miami to see whether there's such a thing as climate gentrification. That's on The World. This afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
Next time on Jazz Night in America, we ring in the holiday season with the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with guest vocalist Catherine Russell.
As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I'm Christian McBride. That's next time on Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, have you noticed those amazing huge murals that have gone up on downtown buildings over the last couple of years? That's thanks to the Art Republic Festival. They bring world-renowned muralists to town to create those jaw-dropping works of art. Well, one of those murals just got painted on the wall of 927 Events, the premier unique event venue in the urban core. They are an underwriter of segments on this program, too. Now, 927 Events is having a contest tied to that new mural, and the winner will receive a great prize. It's two round-trip tickets on United Airlines to anywhere in the continental United States. Paul Sifton of 927 Events dreamed this up, and he joins us now with all the contest details. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
So this is cool. You got this great mural put up on your wall. Let's talk about the image first, because it's colorful. You can't miss it. It's so eye-catching.
No, when you're going down Forsyth Street off of 95, you certainly can't miss it. And it was done by a fellow by the name of Akuda. And he's supposedly the third best muralist in the world. And Jessica from Art Republic, who organized all these murals, saved that particular artist for me for that wall. And what a beautiful job he did.
He did. And it's bright primary colors. It's incredibly dynamic. And it's now on the western wall of your building, your historic building on Forsyth. So people can come check it out, but even more importantly, they can submit their entry into your mural contest. How does the contest work?
Well, there's actually two contests. And one is that you guess the number of cans, spray cans, that were used by the artist. And the other is where you guess the number of colors. And you really need to go down to take a look at it to get an idea. And like you said, the winner of each of those contests wins two round-trip tickets anywhere in the continental United States that United flies.
Pretty cool. That's an easy way to win a trip somewhere. Whoever gets closest to the correct answer will be the winner.
That's right. And there is a $5 entry to submit it, and 100% of those proceeds goes to the Child's Guidance Center,
which is a great local nonprofit for children. So they've got to guess how many spray cans were used. It's a huge mural, so it was a lot of spray. And did he do it all with spray cans?
He did.
Wow.
Other than the back colors that they used with just a typical hand sprayer. But all of the rest of the mural was done with spray cans.
Okay, so how many spray cans did the mural artist Okuda use? And how many colors total are in the mural? Which could be, you might think that's easy to figure out, but when you see this mural in person, Paul, you'll realize that's not as easy as it looks.
No, it's not. And it's an amazing opportunity to go fly somewhere that you'd want to go to and also give back to the community with the Child's Guidance Center.
And since you're a crafty guy, it also is going to bring more people downtown well, and see this mural.
Yeah, I wish that there was a lot more news that had picked up on all these murals, because the Art Republic has really done a great job at bringing in, I believe it was 13 murals this year, and I believe 17 last year. And so it's beautified the downtown, but if we don't get the people to come downtown to see them, then, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of a waste. You know, it's a beautiful city with all the urban, you know, core going up, and it needs more people to come visit.
Absolutely. So take the opportunity. Maybe you're going to have a few days off over the holiday. Just come on downtown to Forsyth Street, just east of the Prime Osborne Convention Center, and check out this mural by world-renowned muralist Okuda on the western wall of 927 Events. You need to enter the contest and make two guesses. One, guess how many spray cans the muralist used to create this massive project. And two, guess how many colors are in the work of art. The winner, whoever comes closest to the accurate answer, doesn't have to be exact.
No.
Whoever comes closest, as Paul said, you will win two round-trip United Airlines tickets to any destination in the continental United States. The contest runs until, is it midnight New Year's Eve?
It is.
So you have some time. People have time to come visit you, and they should come check out the inside of 927 Events while they're there, because it's a really cool and unusual event space. Nothing else like it anywhere in the downtown area.
And in order to enter this, you simply have to go to 927events.com, and there'll be a pop-up that'll come up, and you just click on that and move forward.
I hope you get so many entries. I can't wait to hear about this. I'm not eligible, but I bet some of my coworkers, they're going to be clicking on this thing. It's only $5, and it benefits the Child Guidance Center. So it's a great cause, and it's a lot of fun.
And maybe you'd have us back to announce who the winner is.
Of course.
There you go.
Of course.
The announcement's going to be January 20th. So we look forward to seeing you then, and thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. He's Paul Sifton of 927 Events. Again, that website to enter, 927events.com. I can't wait to see who wins. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Merschart. Michelle Corum runs the board during the hour. Pyotr Chepchik of the Symphony composed our show theme. And coming up next, 1A, the President's National Security Strategy. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.